Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. The summer is a great time to get out and see some animals. But if the crowds or the prices of zoos are too much for you, Wisconsin offers plenty of free opportunities to see animals in their natural habitats instead. Nature and travel author Candace Gockel-Andrews' latest book is a guide to seeing native animals in Wisconsin in their natural habitats. The book is called Travel Wild Wisconsin, and Gockel-Andrews told Lake Effect's Eleanor Peterson about the specific animals we ought to see this time of year.
Summer's a good time to get involved, I would say, with tagging monarch butterflies. That's something you can easily do. You just have to go to monarchwatch.org, and you can learn how to tag butterflies, and you can even get a little tagging kit for a small fee that they charge there. What's amazing is some of these monarchs are making a 3,000-mile migration from Canada to Mexico. So there is a chapter, of course, on that in the book, but summer's a great time to be looking for the monarchs. I think it's also a great time to look for white-tailed deer, and one place to do that is to take an auto tour through the Sandhill Wildlife Area in Babcock. And
wouldn't the cars scare them away, though?
The cars?
Yeah.
No. Actually, what this is it's a huge enclosure. So I think it's a 9,000-acre enclosure, and the deer herd inside the enclosure, they are wild. They don't know actually that they're enclosed. But this car route is a 14-mile route, and you just drive slowly. Deer are usually seen either in the early morning hours or toward dusk. And I've gone through there many times, and almost always I've seen deer. So they're relatively close. Usually they're browsing, and you can find them. I think it's another great time of year to look for loons. Loons are out on our lake. Some are actually incubating eggs right now, or they do have their young with them. So we're very lucky, especially in Wisconsin, because we're one of the few states that have loons. With the red eyes, because they only have those in the summer, and we have loons here in the summer, so we get to see those brilliant red eyes and then their distinctive kind of black and white plumage. And, it's always a good time to look for elk in the Shawmagon.
Sounds wonderful. And I like with the portion with the loons, you're talking about the different loon calls, and that was fascinating for me.
Yeah, they do make some very distinctive calls. They're territorial calls. There are calls to communicate with the other loons on the lake, and there's yodels and wails, and they make a lot of vocalizations.
So how did you find these animals?
When I thought of doing the book, I just started to think of, I wanted to make sure that I was including only the native animals to Wisconsin. So I started to make a list of the animals that were native to the state. And then I wanted to make sure that there was a place, sort of a natural area, a place of natural beauty that you could go to encounter these animals. And then I also wanted sort of a third criteria for each chapter was that I wanted this to be something that you could do for very little money to have a genuine encounter with this particular form of wildlife. So I didn't want any expensive trip or, animals in zoos, although zoos are fine. This is just having encounters with wild animals, thus Travel Wild Wisconsin.
Right, and it sounds like they're just in their natural habitat, which is probably a little more interesting of an experience than just going to a zoo and seeing them caged up.
Right. I think that's true because you actually do see them where they live and how they interact with that environment. So it is a little more genuine.
How long did it take you to research these animals then?
It took about a year to go to all the places and talk with all the researchers and biologists and citizen scientists and volunteers that I talked with. So I would say that the research part of this takes about a year. It takes another year to actually sit down and write the book. And then, of course, it takes another year to get the production going and the book actually printed. So it's been a 3-year process altogether.
Did you leave any of the animals out, or did you just stick with these 12?
There were some that I wanted to include, for instance, like black bears. I think black bears are, they're really an iconic Wisconsin animal. But unfortunately, there's not really a structure for you to go out safely and seek an encounter with a black bear. So I did leave that out. Now, you almost would think the same thing of the gray wolf, but in Wisconsin, there are ways that you can go out to get close to these wolves. It's very hard to see them, but you can hear them. So it had to do with whether there was an easy way to sort of access these animals.
What resources did you use to find out about these animals?
Once I had my list of animals, I contacted the DNR, was a good place to start. I contacted universities. I contacted volunteer groups and people who work with these animals, day in and day out, and who would really know them and have some kind of stories to tell about them.
Well, you were working with the scientists and the DNR and the universities, but how did you make these connections? connections? Did you just reach out to them and then network, or how did you go about making these connections?
Right. Well, sometimes it started that way, where I would just call the DNR and ask, you know, who was the go-to person for that particular animal. Other times, I found people through festivals. We have a lot of wildlife festivals in the state. There's a Prairie Chicken Festival. There's Owl Fest. And I would go to the festival or talk to some of the people there, sometimes contact the festival organizers ahead of time. There's also groups that are involved in conservation of certain types of animals, so I would contact them.
And then you stayed with some families, too. How did you make those connections?
Right. Well, that's particularly true of when I was researching the loons. And I found I stayed with a couple, Lorna Wilson and her husband, and I found them through Loon Watch, which is a program through the Northland College in Ashland. Hmm. And they are what you call loon counters or loon rangers, and they live on the St. Croix flowage. So every year and every 5 years with the bigger count, they go out and count loons. I got their names and contacted them, and they were very gracious and let me come up and stay with them and count loons.
Wow. So how do you count loons?
Well, it's kind of a big process. Like I said, there's two different kinds of counts of loons, and every year there's what they just call the regular loon count, and it's usually people who live on a lake or a flowage, and they just volunteer to keep an eye on the lake and count the loons that they see during the summer and then send in a report. But every 5 years, there's a much bigger survey done, and it's done on a preset list of 258 lakes in Wisconsin. Everyone who does the count goes out on their lake at a certain time in the morning, mm-hmm. and then they count till a certain ending time, and then they fill out their forms and report that in, and then it's all put together in a big report, and we get our list of how many loons and how many chicks there are in Wisconsin.
So then you also wrote about the history of the animals and the land and the people who lived in these parts of Wisconsin. How did you find out that information?
Well, it was through research, and I think that brings up kind of a good point, that this book is kind of a new genre in a way. As we were getting ready to go to publication, we were trying to figure out, you know, how to really categorize this book. It's almost hard to pigeonhole. It's a guidebook in that it tells you in what seasons to go look for what animals and what you can expect when you find them. And in other ways, it's sort of a history book like you mentioned, because I do go into the history of that particular form of wildlife in the state. It's also a nature sort of essay book, because I tell the stories of the people who work with these animals. So it's really kind of hard to put it into one category. Also, at the end of each chapter is a section on how to have your own genuine wildlife encounter, and there's a couple of options for you. And then also how to get involved in conservation efforts.
Because one of the things I really love about your book is that I'm reading it and I feel like I am just sitting there with you. I am out in the fields. I am out exploring and observing with you. One of my top favorite animals that I read about were the dancing prairie chickens, especially when the female prairie chickens were not all that impressed with the male prairie chickens.
So. Right.
Yeah. And what was your most fascinating experience you had while exploring these different habitats?
Well, first of all, that's great to hear, because that's kind of the goal of the book, too, is to let you know what you're going to experience and, you know, how our experience were, either mine or someone I've talked to, and then what you can expect when you go out there. Boy, there were so many fascinating, you know, things that I hadn't done before. Like you say, sitting in a blind and watching the prairie chickens dance and also watching sharp-tailed grouse dance, which is a totally different experience. And I think we all expect some of these encounters to be fantastic, like encounters with the big animals like elk to be really spectacular, and they are. But I think what's really surprising is that you have these encounters with some of our native animals that are more common, and you wouldn't expect that. And one of those is the Canada goose. So many people say, well, why do I need to go to Horicon Marsh to watch the geese? They're in the city parks. They're in my backyard. They're all over the place. You know, I don't need to go to have this encounter with them. But the secret is that there are three kinds of Canada goose in Wisconsin. And just 50 years ago, we were actually afraid that they would go extinct. But they've really come back. And the thing is, seeing them at Horicon is just an international event. It's a phenomenon that people come from all over the world to see. You know, when you go to Horicon, you see hundreds of thousands of geese coming in at night. You don't get that in your city parks, and you don't get that in your backyard for sure. And I've talked to Bill Volkert, and he's a man who's a naturalist and an educator for the Wisconsin DNR, and he's worked there for almost 30 years, and he told me it never gets old. I mean, people who have been at a Horicon year after year and day after day still look up when all these geese come in, and it's just such a quintessential identity for Horicon. So I think those are kind of the surprising things that you can have encounters with these animals that you might see every day, but if you go to the right place at the right time, you'll really be amazed.
And with the book, you also have some really fascinating pictures of, there was this one with a loon and the plumage is just all out and he's about ready to take flight. And was that your husband who took the pictures or?
Yeah, he did a lot of the picture taking. I took a few, but I have to say he's an artist and he's got that eye for design and for just capturing things at the right moment. So he did contribute a lot of photos to the book.
You were once a scriptwriter, but you have shifted to a nature writer role. Has your previous career influenced your nature writing throughout your books?
Yeah, I think so. Because I think in any type of writing, whether it's drama or comedy or science or nature travel writing, what you're trying to do is tell a story. And so with the nature travel writing, the story you're trying to tell is the story of a place. And that's what I like to do and what I try to do is tell the story of a place through the people who live there, work there, and who just love it.
What was your inspiration for writing this book?
A couple of years ago, I was writing my previous book, Beyond the Trees, Stories of Wisconsin Forests, and I had visited the Great Chequamegon, Nicolet National Forest, three times while I was doing research for that book. So on one of those trips, we were just going down the highway, and an elk just kind of walked right across in front of us. And I thought, wow, that was the first time I had really seen an elk in the wild. And I thought, wow, we have all this cool wildlife in the state. And, well, in addition to writing books, I also write for the World Wildlife Fund and for several international eco-tour providers on nature and topics. So I think those two things, that elk encounter I had up north and then writing about wildlife for these companies, started me thinking that, you know, the wildlife we have in Wisconsin is every bit as exciting as what's in other states and even what's in other countries, and I think ours may be even a little bit more accessible. So I started to think, gosh, if we just had a book telling us how to have encounters with that wildlife, So that's how Travel Wild Wisconsin was born.
That's a great idea. And I remember reading, I believe it was in the foreword or in the preface, you had mentioned about your dad not really wanting to travel and, why leave here when everything you love is at home?
Right.
And I like that correlation as well. It's like, well, we have so much to offer in Wisconsin and the nature. Why go elsewhere when you can have the experience right here?
Right, and it's you know, like eating locally, travel locally, you know, it's just more planet-friendly, and you leave a lesser carbon footprint. So, I mean, I think it's important.
So then how does this book compare to your other nature books?
Well, I think this is the first one, I would say, that actually focuses on animals and wildlife. As I mentioned, the forest book, you know, was more about place, and it was about your experiences that you could have, like visiting all of our state and our one great national forest. And I did include animals that, you know, I did encounter in those forests, but I think this is the first book that really concentrates on, you know, the great wildlife that we have here. I also wrote a Great Wisconsin Winter Weekends, which was more of a standard guidebook, I would say, about where to go, you know, and where to stay and eat and have these great experiences during a winter weekend in Wisconsin. But this is the first one that really focuses on wildlife.
For a beginning animal observer, which animal would you recommend starting off with?
Probably, you know, ones that you can identify easily. I mean, like I said, these common experiences that you may have, but you don't know where to go to the right place to do it. For instance, like those Canada geese, just go to Horicon and in the fall and watch the geese come in and sort of educate yourself. And Horicon does a great job of this. You can just stop in at their visitor center or go to some of their talks about the good times to watch geese and why you should watch them at this time and what their history is in the state. In your own backyard, like I mentioned with the monarch butterflies, they're there. You just have to, it's amazing when you figure out the journey that these little creatures take, and you can do that easily. Just go to Monarch Watch, and there's a lot of information there. So I think start out small, start out easy, and then maybe branch out a little bit farther from home. Maybe you want to go up to northern Wisconsin and see the elk. There's sturgeon in Lake Winnebago. I mean, there at the beginning of the book, there's a map that shows you all the areas of Wisconsin, where you can have some great wildlife encounters. And it's basically, you know, all over the state. So I think wherever you live, start out small in your own neighborhood and then branch out.
Well, that just sounds wonderful. I am so excited to try this out, especially during the fall when you can go up in the northern woods and look at all the different tree colors and leaf colors.
Right.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. Well, Candace Gockel-Andrews, thank you so much for being on Lake Effect.
Thank you.
Candace Gockel-Andrews is the author of Travel Wild Wisconsin, a guide to seeing native animals in Wisconsin in their natural habitats. Andrews lives in Sun Prairie and is also author of Beyond the Trees, Story of Wisconsin Forests, and Great Wisconsin Winter Weekends. She spoke with Eleanor Peterson. Another break now, and then some insights into Wisconsin's early gardening traditions with the award-winning writer Marcia Carmichael. This is Lake Effect on WUWM.